Fahid, who's bounding clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Fahid maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Remy Walsh. Fahid's a champion. Arctic Forest.
It was never in any doubt that it's going to be a magnificent hat-trick in the race for the Willie Mullins trade for Vega, and a treble on the day for Ruby. He didn't have to move a muscle.
Very warm welcome back to the From the Horse's Mouth podcast with myself, Patrick Connelly, and Paddy Bear trader Frank Keeke, and Cheltenham Festival legend Ruby Walsh. We are going to look at the final day of the festival, day four. Yes, it will feature some very interesting stories and hopefully a few winners for you, our loyal listener. Before I get the thoughts of Frank and Ruby, just a quick reminder, our last day of the watch-alongs are available on Facebook, Twitter, and also on YouTube. We've got a lovely one for you today. It is Peter and Abby Crouch who are going to be watching Cheltenham along with you. You can get in touch with them. Do check out the Paddy Power social channels for that. But let's get stuck into it. Ruby and Frank, we're finally here. It is day four and we kick off with the Triumph Hurdle. How's holding up first, Frank? How are you holding up? You okay?
Oh yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I was very well prepared. I was getting ahead of myself all week. I learned my lesson when I was a rookie in there. I was kind of leave all the work till the day. And that's just not the way to do it. You need to be prepared. Now, the 48-hour decks are a massive help, you know, for getting ahead. But I'm in a lot better shape than what I would have been 5 or 6 years ago.
Good man. And there isn't the pub waiting for you afterwards on the Thursday. You think, sure, Friday will work out itself. No, don't worry about that. No, absolutely not. Ruby, how are you getting on? All good over there?
Oh, it's very good. Patrick, what a day. What a week for Irish trained horses. Oh. And I can just see it getting better today.
Yeah, I mean, there was some funny numbers thrown out there about how many Irish winners there could be at this festival. And the first 2 days, as we speak, we haven't seen the third day, but as the first 2 days are anything to go by, records could be broken, couldn't they?
I really think so. And I've thought it for a while. I wrote about it in the Examiner on Monday. I just think the dominance is off the charts at the minute.
They won't let us back next year. Come up with
I tell you what's more, they won't have much without us.
There would be some festival without it. You're dead right. The battle for hearts and minds would be the Dublin Racing Festival versus Cheltenham next year. Right, let's talk about the first race on day four. It is the Triumph Hurdle. It's well said, but I'm going to repeat it. We know that the Boodles takes away the dross, so to speak, 8 runners, but I'm really, really liking this renewal, folks, and the big names are there. Frank, I'm going to start with you. Zanna here, he's probably going to be yet another hot favourite in the first race, which you want to get beaten. He's going to be maybe even money 5-4. Your thoughts?
Yeah, obviously, he drifted out a little bit when we weren't sure of what stable he was going to run and et cetera, et cetera. I think he deserves to be favourite. I think he will shorten. I could see him going off potentially even shade of odds on. But I just have a sneaky feeling for Tritonic. I know I've been going on about him now for a while. He was a very good flat horse. I was impressed with him at Ascot. He wasn't fully wound up that day. I thought he jumped relatively well, bar he dived the last hurdle. But he did very well to pick up Casalupi that day, and he improved an awful lot when he won at the Adonis. Look, the overall time was nothing exceptional, but his time from the back of the last hurdle to the line was very fast in comparison.
It actually visually looked like that. I don't look at the times, but the visuals were great, where he just looked like he skated away after the last.
It was obviously relying on Simon Rowlands to do the times, but he did a piece about it, and yeah, it looked very good, and that kind of backed it up. Now, I do think the fact that you've got 2 hurdles in the last 7 furlongs might actually play to his strengths. As I said, he was very good on the flat. He placed 2nd in a Royal Ascot Handicap, finished 2nd in the listed race. There's not too many horses of that sort of flat ability go over jumps anymore. I think it's going to be an intriguing race. I think Zanna here is very good as well. But I think Tritonic will drift because Zanna will strengthen up. And for that reason, I think you might get 3-1, 130 possibly, you know, on Thursday evening. And Tritonic would be the one for me if you're getting that sort of price.
Ruby, there was any number of horses from the Willie Mullins yard entered in this race. It is interesting that Aut en Couleur, a horse we talked about last week, is the sole representative. Tell us first about him, because we haven't seen him in Ireland or the UK, and tell us about your selection.
thought we had Tax for Max as well.
No, I'm sorry, Tax for Max as well. My apologies. Poor Tax for Max. Sorry, 25-1 That'll win. I
was thinking when we were doing the declarations, Willie Mullins definitely said Tax for Max. I was thinking, please tell me we declared him. he's not a maiden, Patrick. He's won in France. Therefore, it's almost like Willie's hand is forced. He has to run him. He's not going to be a novice next season. So he goes nicely at home, but I don't know. This is a huge ask. And I have been since the Fairy House Winter Festival been Xander Hare's biggest fan. And I'm not changing my mind. I thought his performance that day was incredible. And I think he will win.
Okay, simple as that. Xander Hare for Ruby and Tritonic for Frank. That's the top two covered. Right, we'll move to the county, which is going to be a massive field, as it always is. Now, Frank, thank you very much. You're giving us lots of extra places.
7 from Paddy Power, which is very generous, but it is a very competitive race. Gonna have to be favourite. You can see why. I have 2 against the field. The first is You Raise Me Up. I've been very keen on him. I thought he might run the Carl Cup. He's gone for the county. He was a late non-runner for the race last year off the back of finishing 3rd in the Ladbroke Hurdle of the Dublin Racing Festival off mark of 125. We've only seen him twice since. At the Stowell, where he won nicely from Belfast Banter and run for Oscar, I think, or run for Mary, sorry, both useful horses. Had another break, came back at Naas last month under a penalty. He was weak in the markets, just the run was needed. He won still. Drawing ground is absolutely ideal for him. And he's off mark for 141, but I think he's capable of being better than that. I'd be very sweet on him. I think he's going to run a massive race. And the other one is a horse that went off 6-1 last year in the race. He's currently 20-1, and that's sealed in the edge. The only time he's run on good ground, or the last time he ran on good ground, was in the Betfair Hurdle last year when he was beaten 3/4 of a length off a mark of 135. He did disappoint in this race last year, but he was only 5. You could think, oh, he doesn't handle the track, but he'd been 3rd in the Boogles in his first after Willie Mullins the year before. So he does handle the track. I thought he'd shown a bit of life this year. He was 5th in a good handicap at Fairy House, broke his maiden at Limerick, and then ran okay at the Dublin Racing Festival. But I think getting back in better ground will really suit him. And with 7 places and 20-1, he's definitely worth having on your side.
Any number, I'm not going to say how many Willie Mullins has in this room because I'll probably miss a couple. So there's any number of them in this. What are the thoughts from the Mullins camp?
I'm hoping there's 5, Frank, or Patrick.
Okay.
CL, I would agree with Frank. CL Dinesh has ran at Cheltenham in the Boodles, but that was on the old course. He's now going to the new course, and I think that'll suit him even more. I think he wants a little bit further. I think the new track will suit him. There's a bit of stamina. He's in good form. And he's a great price each way, as Frank has made the case for. My slight preference would probably be for Gana Petit. I think he's slightly less exposed. Good running fairy. A Punchestown behind the real deal. Jammed on at the last hurdle and got mugged. Didn't get home behind Gaillard and Menil at the Dublin Racing Festival. Dropping back down to a strong year on 2 miles would suit him. I schooled him. I've schooled 2 horses since I retired, and this was one of them. And I thought he was a really good jumper. And I think, like CL Dinesh, this trip and track will suit him. So they would be my 2 against the field.
Okay, so 3 horses selected from our 2 gentlemen. We've got Gana Petit, CL Dinesh, and also You Raised Me Up. We move on to the Albert Bartlett, 3 miles for the novices, or just shy of 3 miles, 7 yards short of it. Huge field. Frankie, you giving us an extra place?
Yeah, 4 places here. Thanks. Again, it is a very competitive, or a very open-looking race. I suppose the one thing you could deduce from the novice race we've seen so far, the Irish novices are better than the English. And I thought that about the 3 mile division before this week because Make Good went over and won the trial there in impressive fashion earlier in the season. And I just don't think the English are that good. Now, Barbados Bucks and Alaphilippe are 2 who've looked useful, and Adramel's won the Leamington at Warwick at Grade 2. But for me, I think Streets of Doyle is one of the big prices you could definitely see running well. He's beat Flooring Porter at Gore, and he's won at Cheltenham. But for me, the winner will come for the first 3. I've been on about Fakira since December for this race. I just think he's crying out for 3 miles. I thought he was a massive eye catch at Dublin Racing Festival, where he was the only one to make up any ground from the back. The other three were all ridden prominently. The ones who finished in front of him, he was finishing like a train. I think 3 miles on this course and decent ground is really going to suit him. I think he's got a right chance.
Could be a great week for Keith Donoghue. So, Ruby, your thoughts on the Albert Bartlett?
Patrick, I'd say at this stage I have tipped about 6 horses in this race. and I can't. Every time I look at it, I make a case for a different horse. I think it's the weakest of the novice hurdles. But I would fully accept Frank's thoughts on Fakira. And the more you watch the novice hurdle at the Dublin Racing Festival and you think that was 2 miles and 6, what's going to happen in 2 furlongs' time? The more you see Fakira finish in front of Statler. So for that reason, I'd be siding with Fakira right now as well.
Okay, lovely jubbly. Tip number 7 from you in that race, the Albert Bartlett. Let me move
on. I think it's the first time I've tipped in.
Okay, fair enough. The other 6 are in horse boxes somewhere else. We move on to the Gold Cup. I suppose when you talk about Cheltenham for the guts of 11 months, that's going to happen, isn't it?
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
The Gold Cup is next. It is a cracking renewal. Pretty much they've all turned up, which is great. Hopefully nothing happens between now and the running of it. Ruby, I'm going to start with you on this occasion. Album Photo, potential history maker, become the first horse since Best Mate to win 3. How is he and is he going to do it?
He's in great form. You'd be delighted with him. We are delighted with him. I wasn't sure, Patrick, leaving Cheltenham last year on the Friday, that he would win a third Gold Cup. I thought leaving the year before, 2019, that he would win again in 20. And when I left in 20, I kind of thought, I don't know if he'll win a third one. But the more I've watched all of these horses through the year, the stronger a case you can make for Album Photo. I thought he did well to win in Tramore. And when you look at the last furlong of the race, he beat Acapella Bourgeois a long way. And Acapella Bourgeois hasn't exactly let the form down since. Champ is a danger, and a Plutar most certainly is. There are two horses running against them. Right now, I probably think a Plutar is a bigger danger. When you look at the form of the 2 yards, and you look at the week Henry's having, and what he could just, and even to look at Henry's horses in the Parade Ring, they just look incredible. A lot of them even have their summer coats almost, they nearly quartered out. They just look to be really healthy and really well. And I think a Plutar is the biggest danger, but for a considerable amount of time now, I have been an Album Photo side. I'm not going to desert him.
Frank, your thoughts on the Gold Cup?
Yeah, I've been the same. I think you'd have to respect Appleshire the way Henry's horses are going, but Album Photo, I think he's, like, we're jockeying him at the moment at 9-4 at the time of recording. This is big as 11-4. It's a very fair price. Like, he's tactically versatile, as he's shown his 2 Gold Cup wins. The first one was a really strongly run race where he was really impressive, and the second one was a slowly run race that was very tactical, and he still managed to win, albeit by a narrow enough margin. I think this will be strongly run, particularly as long as Native River stays in the field. You imagine you win, the ground's not going to be rattling or anything, but yeah, I can't look beyond them, to be honest. I think he'll win.
I'm going to play a game. And it's all hypotheticals, but so don't kill me. Royal Pagai, I'm going to ask both of you, would he have won the National Chase on Tuesday and would he have won the Brown Advisory Novice Chase on the Wednesday? Frank?
I don't know. Okay. I'm not sure about him on good grounds. I think my opinion would be that Monkfish underperformed in the Brown Advisory, so potentially he may have won that. I don't think Monkfish was anywhere near as good as, say, when he won at Leopardstown. Maybe he might have won that. I'm not to be convinced. I couldn't have him myself for the Gold Cup. But
fair enough. Ruby, do you think Roy Pagai would have picked up?
I'm in Frank's camp. I don't think he would have beaten Monkfish, who underperformed. I said there's no doubt about that. And I think if Roy Pagai had run in the National Hunt Chase, I think he would have had a much different race. Mm. I think it was slowly run. I don't know if that would have suited him. I thought the winner got a brilliant ride, and I think the runner-up will be overlooked.
Very interesting. Yes, Roy Bagai goes and bids to become the first horse since, I'm assuming, Coney Gree as a novice to win the Gold Cup. Now we move on to the Fox Hunters, which for the first time ever will be ridden by professionals, which does change a few things. Ruby, you spoke to us on this very podcast about how this changes the complexion of the race. Explain.
I do more so than the Kimmure or the National Hunt Chase, because they're races that amateurs will be riding the horses probably for the first time, really. They're professional rides that happen to be running in amateur races. This is the opposite way around. Fox Hunters are ridden by amateurs all the time. They're running Hunter Chasers, Point of Points. They're always amateur ridden. And Patrick Mullins, Derek O'Connor, Jamie Codd, etc., are without doubt an advantage to you. So Patrick Mullins on Billaway had to have an advantage over David Maxwell, who rides his own horses. He's a big supporter of the game. But one has been champion amateur 12 times. One of the others a very successful businessman. You know, I think for that reason, Billaway had to have an advantage over Bob and Co with Patrick Mullins versus David Maxwell that I think has been removed. And I think it brings the two horses much closer together. Now, with that said, you know, I'm making a case for Bob and Co there. I do think Billaway is in great form and is a good bit better horse than he was this time last year.
Okay. Frank, your thoughts on the Fox Hunters?
Yeah, I'm going to give a chance to Staker Wallace. We're paying four places here each way. I thought he shaped well in the race last year when he finished fourth. Now, he has a relatively, he'd been off for 3 years before running well behind Billaway and Ace. Prior to that, he won a point just beforehand to two quick runs leading up into Cheltenham last year. He's a little bit better prep this year. Placing 2 points, won at Limerick. Was beaten only 2 1/4 lengths by Billaway. I do think he was ridden kind of on the far side on the straight at Nace. I think that's a little bit of a disadvantage on testing ground there. I think better ground will suit him. And just, again, he's but the 9 or 10 to 1 mark. I can see him finishing close with Billaway again. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't hit the 4 at least.
Staker Wallace for Frank and Ruby staying loyal to Billaway. Could be a great week for that particular owner, for sure. Billaway, don't forget he's also got Build Me Up Buttercup earlier on the card. We move on to the Mrs. Paddy Power Mare's Chase. And when this race was, well, when it was conceived, I think a lot of people said, you know who might do well out of this race? Willie Mullins. He's got 4 in it. Ruby, start with you.
Yeah, he does. Just hard to see Cabaret Queen winning. He might have 4 in it. And I'd say Sal Serretta could do it rain. She likes soft ground. So it comes down to the two at the top of the market, Colreevy, Ellie May. Which one's going to handle better ground better? I think probably Ellie May. I think Colreevy, Limerick, 26th of December. When you handle that kind of ground, you can't really handle good ground. Now, I know she won a champion bumper at Punchestown, so maybe I'm talking absolute drivel. But I think Ellie May for me.
I know we had plenty of discussions about where she was going to go. There was a handy race. Was it at Limerick actually on last weekend that she could have gone for?
She could have, but she is an 8-year-old. Her owners are breeders. And there will be a chance she will be going to stud next season. So it was now or never, really.
Fair enough. So Ellie May for you, Ruby. Frank, your thoughts on the Miss Paddy Power Mares?
That's a fair point. Ruby makes about Colreevy. She hasn't run great at Cheltenham in her 2 visits either, which would be a small concern. Ellie May, she's a rightful fav. She's short enough. It's not my usual type of bet. I was looking at, you know, what could I back each way, and I was going to take a chance at Sal Serretta. I went back and watched her run in the Albert Bartlett a couple of years ago behind Manilindo. If you actually watch it, she cruises down the hill. And turning in, you think she's going to be a big player, and she just doesn't get home over 3 miles. The ground that day, good to soft, I think officially was it. And she won on soft ground at Punchestown, her chase debut, beating Galvin 8 lengths. She beat Augusta Gold at Punchestown as well last year, over 2.5 and yielding ground. So I'd be less worried about the ground. Obviously, Ruby knows more than me, but I wasn't overly worried about the drying ground. She was very good last year. Bit disappointing this year. She was very well backed on her seats of the appearance at Punchestown, a good handicap off a mark of 148. She went off 5-1 and fell at the first. Now she has a disappointing run, a Fairy House at the turn of the year to overcome, where she was 4-6 favourite and she was beaten a mile. But that clearly wasn't her running. Just when you go back and watch that Albert Bartlett run, She showed huge ability that day, but instead her stamina just gave out. But she travelled nearly as well as anything. And at the price, 16 to 1. I'd have a few Bobby Twain her. Just, I think Magic Light wants much further. Shattered Love, I do think she's at her best when she gets proper heavy grounds. And Salseretti Twain, hit the three.
Okay, Salseretti each way for Frank, Ailey May for Ruby. We move on to the Martin Pipe. It is the closing race of the Cheltenham Festival. Could be another Willie Mullins favourite here. Gentleman to me, my God, he's not very experienced, Ruby. Three runs and chucked into a 24-runner handicap. How's he going
to
handle it?
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Patrick, I can't tell you a whole pile about him. I've never sat him. I never rode him. I can see him walking at home. He's a forward-going horse. He would have improved for his debut win for Willie. There's no doubt about that. But I like the other one. I've tipped him a good few times now at this stage, galloping the champ. I thought he's run behind Appreciated at Leopardstown. It was a pretty solid run. And I think going up in triple actually suit him. Galloping the champ, Sean O'Keefe on his back, he'll do me.
Galloping the champ for Ruby, interesting. They've got the Willie Mullins has the favourite Gentleman to me in the green and gold. Frank, I assume there's extra places, and I assume you're tipping up something at a big price.
Yeah, five places. Look, at the time recording, Langerdan and Gabby Knack are the two for cash. You can see why Langerdan absolutely pulled up in the Imperial Cup. I do think that was a very weak renewal of the race, but technically he is well in, and he's gained a better race over an extra half mile. Gabby Nacko, of course, finished third in the Grade One Lawlers of Nace behind Bob Ollinger, who was so impressive in the Ballymore, and in between them was Blue Lord, who was running a mighty race in the Supreme when he came down. But the two I'm going to go for, I'm going to put up two. They're both big prices. The first is an ex-Willie Mullins horse, now with Paul Nicholls. I can see where we're 20 to 1. There is as big as 40 as we're recording. That's Eglantine de Soy. She hasn't had good ground that often at all. If you go back 2 years ago, she beat Concertista on the Nod at Cheltenham in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle.
At a big price, I remember.
At a big price, she was 50 to 1 on the day. She finished third in two Grade Ones that year, behind Honeysuckle and
Elfield.
Was it Elfield?
It was, yeah. I rode her. Jason Blackmore rode Honeysuckle, Johnny Buck rode Elfield, and I was third on Eglantine de Soy Sirius.
So Elfield, Honeysuckle was second, wasn't she?
Or Honeysuckle won.
Oh yeah, Honeysuckle won, Elfield was second, yeah. And she was third, and then she went to Punchestown and she finished third against the Geldings as well. They were all behind Reserve Tank, only beaten just over two lengths. They were all in good ground. Now, she hasn't had good ground that often. She finished fourth, Massive Eye Catcher, last year's Labra Curdle at the festival. Disappointed here in the Carl Cup. That was on soft ground. I thought she caught the eye a little bit at Cheltenham this year. Now, she's now trained by Paul Nicholls, but she was second behind the White Mouse. I just think she's been campaigned for with Cheltenham in mind. A mark of 143 now on good ground. And as well as that, Brian Carver is a very good jockey. He's a great booking. I think she's a massive price. I could see her going close. And the other one then is Frontal Assault for Sneezy Foster.
I knew you wouldn't get away without tipping up Jordan Gayford in this race.
Yeah, it's just the profile of the horse as much as him. If you go back to his bumpers last year and see the horse he was running behind, he finished second, not beaten far, behind Enner Gamine. He finished third, beaten just under seven lengths behind Fernie Hollow. His form history is progressively getting better, particularly as he stepped up and trip. Was beaten as Hurdle's debut by Cask Mate. He was only just touched off by Jackson's Gold, stepped up to just shy of 3 miles. Jackson's Gold won a nice handicap at Nace last weekend. He bolted up at Thurles, then over 3 miles. The blinkers didn't work at Leopardstown at Dublin Racing Festival, but they went to Navan and won a Grade 3. I think his mark is very fair, and that is just the profile of the type of horse that can run well here. And Jordan Gainford, you know, I'm a big fan of him.
You are.
And again, he's about 16, 18 to 1.
There you go. And with those extra places. So Eglantine de Soy and Frontal Assault, whilst the Ruby's with Galloping the Champ. That brings us to a conclusion, but we need your day four naps. So Ruby, nap on day four, final day, Cheltenham Festival. Shoot.
Al Boom photo.
Shooting from the hip with Al Boom to make it three in a row in the Gold Cup. Francisco.
I was going to say Al Boom, but should we give some a horse for the double? And I'll say you raised me up in the County Hurdle.
after Heaven Help Us won.
So I could stand on mountains.
Is it a hymn, Frank, or is it a West?
You tipped him in the Coral Cup.
I know.
I had him in two accumes in the Coral Cup.
To be fair, I don't think anyone was winning that Coral Cup except for that mare today.
So, even
if your horse didn't make it, you weren't catching her. That's for sure. What a ride by Richard Condon. That was fantastic.
It's funny. You look at starts. You talk about races. Standing start had such an effect on that race because the wrong horses got away, and the ones that wanted to be up ended up back. And the horses that were sitting second, third, and fourth, other than Botox Ha, who wasn't really going, the others didn't want to be there, and they were restraining, while Richie Condon was only floating along the front. And you talk about the look of the draw or whatever it is, but the standing start had a huge effect on that race.
Which standing start there was about three of them at the end, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, Heaven Help Us. Well, Heaven Help Us indeed. Hopefully, a few winners for you there. You raised me up to continue that kind of a religious sort of theme there from Frank and Ruby going with Album Photo. My thanks to both of you gentlemen for putting up with me throughout the week. I'm delighted to say we're going to give you the weekend off. I will be back tomorrow to look ahead to everyone's favourite post-Cheltenham event, the Midlands National, the big race of the week, folks, at Uttoxeter. Ruby, thank you very much. Frank, thank you very much. Please do subscribe to the pod, folks. I'll be back tomorrow to look ahead to Midlands National. I'll bring along a couple of other folks, and Paddy Power and Ryan McHugh. But until then, stay well, stay safe, and stay lucky.